Good morning. It's Friday, May 24th. I'm Gideon Resnick in for Shumita Basu. This is Apple News Today. Coming up on today's show, how some protesters for police reform were charged with terrorism, the impact of changing speed limits on road fatalities, and why U.S. sunscreen is so lacking. But first, a quick look at some major stories that are in the news. The NCAA and its major conferences are rolling out a nearly $2.8 billion settlement that'll clear the way for schools to pay athletes directly. Michael McCann, senior sports legal reporter at Sportico, talked about the impact of this on NBC.
That will be, of course, a radical change from the traditions of college sports. Now, many would say it's the change that's warranted, given that coaches can make millions of dollars and all other sorts of ways in which money is made in college sports. Now the athletes, at least at some schools, will get a direct stake.
The settlement money will go to both current and former college athletes. Revenue sharing is likely to kick in at the start of the 2025 academic year. Staying with legal news, Norfolk Southern is settling with the Biden administration for $310 million over last year's toxic train derailment in East Palestine, Ohio. The money is in addition to hundreds of millions the rail operator has spent on cleanup and a separate settlement with victims. In Louisiana, lawmakers have passed legislation to reclassify abortion pills as controlled and dangerous substances. It's a first-of-its-kind bill that would put these drugs in the same category as narcotics. Doctors have said that once signed into law, this will make it harder for them to prescribe the medicines, which are not only used by patients seeking abortions. And in a ruling that could have national implications, the U.S. Supreme Court is upholding a South Carolina congressional map that was drawn by the state's Republican-controlled legislature. That reverses a lower court decision that said the map diluted Black voting power. The ruling is a potential boost to the GOP in its bid to keep control of the U.S. House. Tomorrow marks 4 years since George Floyd was murdered by a Minneapolis police officer. In the weeks that followed, some researchers say up to 26 million people protested, which would make it the largest protest movement in American history. New York Magazine's Zach Cheney Rice reports on how local laws in Georgia have been expanding to charge protesters critical of police with terrorism. The story focuses on something called Cop City. You might have heard about this. It's a police training facility being built across 85 acres of forest on the outskirts of Atlanta. Critics have been protesting the facility for years for all sorts of reasons. Environmentalists say cutting down the forest would make flooding in the area worse. Criminal justice advocates say the training center will further militarize the police. And as Cheney Rice explains it, residents say they've been cut out of the process.
Locals in the neighborhood weren't consulted. In fact, the pro-policing nonprofit that is sort of coordinating the project very proudly sort of announced that they were intentionally not going to involve local input because they didn't want to slow the construction process down.
In the past, protesters camped out at the construction site might have been charged with something like criminal damage to property. That has changed as Georgia lawmakers in recent years have expanded the definition of terrorism.
You know, one of the protesters was charged with domestic terrorism and racketeering conspiracy for sending $50 in Venmo money to protesters camped in the woods so that they could purchase food to feed themselves. So this counts as racketeering and conspiracy, for example, under this new approach.
At one point, authorities said protesters damaged construction equipment and launched fireworks at police. One woman named Priscilla Grimm told Cheney Rice elsewhere that same night she was on her way to a nearby concert thrown in solidarity with Cop City protesters. As she was walking, she was tackled by police, then taken to jail.
She was told that she was being charged with domestic terrorism, and the evidence that the police used to determine who those alleged vandals must have been was that they rounded up people with mud on their clothes. That was the evidence they had.
Priscilla Grimm spent a month in jail and lost a job offer. She told Cheney Rice she was shocked and terrified by the experience. She's from New York and lived through 9/11. To her, that was terrorism, not attending a protest concert.
And so this is designed to have a chilling effect, and I think inevitably will, as people think twice about, you know, whether it's worth the risk, whether 20 years in prison is a worthwhile trade-off for exercising your First Amendment right.
You can read the full story on the Apple News app, and if you're listening in the News app right now, we're going to play it for you after this episode. The U.S. has a deadly problem on its roads. Compared to Western Europe, Canada, and Australia, we have 50% more traffic-related fatalities. One major factor is speeding. In 2021, data shows it played a role in nearly one out of three traffic-related deaths, which is why lawmakers in Washington, D.C., New York, and California are taking steps to lower speed limits in cities to 20 miles per hour. At that speed, most people hit by a car have a good chance of surviving. When speed limits are higher, their risk of injury and death rises significantly. In New York, a new state law allows New York City to set its own speed limits. Vox reporter Maren Kogan told us about Sammy's Law.
So the law is named after Sammy Cohen Eckstein. He was a boy who was killed about 10 years ago in Brooklyn when his ball, the ball that he was playing with, dribbled out into traffic, essentially, and he went after it and was struck and killed.
Research shows reducing speed limits in cities to 20 miles per hour led to a nearly 70% reduction in collisions involving kids. It's not just speed limits. Urban planning is also a factor in street safety.
The way we've designed roads in the U.S. is so that cars can go very fast. And you have a number of roads across the U.S. where there are several lanes designed for high-speed travel for cars. But at the same time, there's a number of people who need to access the area by foot. Maybe there are restaurants or different shops. Maybe they don't have access to a vehicle. They don't have access to public transportation. So you have a lot of people walking on what are essentially highways. And it's very, very deadly.
What Americans drive also matters.
Our cars have been getting bigger and heavier. Bigger and heavier cars are more dangerous to people outside of them than the smaller cars are. All of these things are sort of working together to make our roads even more deadly for pedestrians and cyclists than they were before.
Lowering speed limits is one step that will help save lives. But Kogan writes, it'll take a combination of safety reforms to help make American streets safer. Americans are about to start another summer with inferior sunscreen. As NPR reports, other countries like Japan, South Korea, and France have sunscreens with newer chemical ingredients, some of which have been shown to provide broader protection against UV rays. These newer sunscreens have been around for years overseas. But the U.S. Food and Drug Administration has been slow to approve these products. There's a backstory here. The FDA follows a 1938 law that requires chemical sunscreens to be tested on animals and classified as drugs. But in much of the rest of the world, sunscreens are classified as cosmetics, and they're not tested on animals. In fact, the European Union bans animal testing for cosmetics. A lack of access to these better sunscreens has real-world consequences. Every hour, at least two people die of skin cancer in the U.S. It's highly treatable, but also the most common form of cancer in the country. And it's largely preventable. The FDA has defended its review process as a way to ensure the safety of products that many people use daily. But there's now a bipartisan effort in Congress to change things and to speed up approvals of new ingredients. A House bill was introduced earlier this year that would require the FDA to allow non-animal testing on sunscreen. But Americans still won't have these options in time for this summer, or likely even next. If you do head to the beach this weekend, though, it's better to use something than nothing at all. You can find all these stories and more in the Apple News app. And as we mentioned, the narrated article of that New York Magazine story on Cop City protesters is playing next. If you're listening in the podcast app, follow Apple News Plus Narrated to hear that story. Our team will be off on Monday for Memorial Day. Enjoy your holiday weekend, and I'll be back with the news on Tuesday.